Thank you, Lord, that it's actually your Holy Spirit that overflows from us in praise. Lord, that wells up within us and overflows. Lord, we cannot contain your Spirit, Lord, that He is to flow out from us as living water. And Lord, we thank you that you, as we drink from you, that you fill and renew us. And Lord, I pray that as we're renewed, that we will overflow with that living water. We bless your name, Lord. We pray your blessing on coming around your word together. I pray that you'd speak to us through it. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence, that you lead us into all truth, that you give us wisdom and understanding. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right. Well, this evening, or this afternoon, or we've got the curtains drawn, so it's a bit discombobulating, isn't it? What time of day is it? But it's getting on. I want to make a link between two books. So we're still in the book of Ephesians, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of things by mentioning the book of Revelation, because it struck me that there is a strong link between the two of them. And so I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to acknowledge that on this Pentecost Sunday, that the church was birthed on that day, that the churches were equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit to go out missionally into the world. And it is a little bit time later that Paul, or Saul at the time, who's out to get the church, has this encounter with God, with Christ, in fact. And he's commissioned also and filled with the Spirit to go out himself. And on his second mission trip to Ephesus, he plants a church. And that church then goes on to live in that place until 30 years later, John, who may or may not have been living in Ephesus, may or may not have written his epistles and the gospel there, but nonetheless, he was removed from where he was living and imprisoned on the island of Patmos. Now, there are two interesting similarities between Paul's letter to the Ephesians, because we've learnt earlier on in our series that it was actually a circular letter. It was intended to be circulated around the different churches, as was the case with the book of Revelation as well. It was another circular letter. It was intended for the seven churches in Asia Minor. And so it's interesting that in the circular letter that Ephesians crops up as the first church to be spoken to by Christ in this revelation that John had. And so there's an interesting correlation in that 30-year period that lapsed between, or took place between, the first planting of the church in Ephesus and then this letter, that secular letter that went around the churches from the book of Revelation, that life went on in the Ephesian church. And I was thinking about that 30-year period, and I suddenly realized there are a few parallels. We as Cornerstone Church have been here a little over 30 years. And then I went a little further and I thought about Kate and my marriage, and we've been married just over 30 years. Now, these are all just coincidental things, but they may be pertinent to this message. When we think about the relationship that we have with God and almost the similarity that we might discover in the marriage model. But anyway, in this letter, that this revelation that John had to the Ephesian church, he was, if you like, given a progress report. Now, Ephesians crops up first, possibly because it was one of the larger and more influential churches of the day, but possibly as simply as the fact that it was the first on the mail route. So who knows? But anyway, they come in for attention first. And when I thought about this, I thought, wow, imagine that. Imagine being Cornerstone Church after 30 years of existing here, and a circular letter was put out to us amongst the other churches in the area. And we came up first, and then we heard Jesus commendation, but also as critique, which is what happens through the churches, each one of them, each seven of them, and how that might feel. First of all, you're sitting there. This is the first time you've heard this letter, and it's being read out in church to you, and you're starting off quite well. This is Jesus speaking to us, commending us for the good works that we've been involved in doing, commending us for the hard work that we've put our hand to, commending us for our perseverance in hardship. And then, you know those moments where you kind of, your world just, the ground falls away from your feet and you feel like just being swallowed up into it. I imagine their hearts sank when the word yet cropped up. And yet, there was one thing that they hadn't done. They had forsaken their first love. So tonight's message is really about our first love being Jesus Christ and what that might look like for each one of us. How do we love God through Christ? See, they hadn't grown weary, but over a 30-year period of time, a lot can happen. A lot can happen in the life of a church. A lot has happened in Cornerstone Church over 30 years. A lot has happened in my own marriage over 30 years. And so in that living and year by year, moment by moment progress, we can find that things shift and change, either amongst us or in ourselves individually. The Ephesian church was a difficult place, environment to be in. Ephesus was a difficult place. It was a large city. It was the second largest in the world at that time. It was also a commercial center. There was something like 250,000 people. And the church of Ephesians, or the Ephesian church, was a tiny group, possibly 150 people, it said. And they lived in the constant shadow of the temple built to Artemis, which is one of the seventh wonders of the ancient world at the time. This was a very imposing place with idols there built to Artemis or resembling Artemis. I could have had a photograph of one up there, but it's a bit disturbing, actually, so I resisted that. But nonetheless, there was a real integration of commerce and religion in Ephesus at the time. It wasn't so much the way that we live today, where we tend to compartmentalize our lives. Everything was integrated, so much so that when Paul kept preaching what he was preaching, it had ramifications for the whole city, and people got into a bit of an uproar about that, didn't they? They wanted to get rid of this gospel message because it was impacting their worship and their trade. So they lived in a very challenging context, and we too live in a challenging context. We live in a world where things are constantly drawing us towards themselves, drawing us away from Christ, drawing us away from God. And they may not look like the Temple of Artemis, but there are things going on around us and even taking place in us because of that we get drawn away from looking at Christ. And then we get drawn into looking at other things. So this evening, I'd like for us to have the opportunity to talk about the ways in which this might be taking place in our lives. And I want the opportunity for us not to sit behind one another and look at the backs of each other's heads, but actually for us to turn face to face in a moment and spend some time talking about how it is that we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, the Shema. How do we do that? What does that look like? And share how challenging that might be, but how you may have found that you're able to do that. And you may be able to encourage someone else by doing that. So the way we're sitting at the moment may have to change. And so I'd like for us to think about breaking into, say, groups of six or eight people, which will involve turning some chairs towards each other. And then to think about this. Where is my orientation at the moment? What are the things that I've either made a beeline towards or are actually drawing me into them? And this is not so much to focus on that. It's more a case of, well, how is it that we love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our strength? And as we share that with one another, you might encourage someone else that's struggling in some way to do that. There may be ways that you've discovered that you've drawn close to God in that way. And so that's our opportunity tonight. So, a bit of furniture rearrangement. But when we have spent some time talking with one another about that, and I'd love it if we could pray for each other, then there'll be probably a moment in that discussion and praying together where you realise, yeah, we've kind of gone where we need to go here. We've talked about what we need to talk about, prayed about what we want to pray about. In that group might just want to come up and take the elements of communion back to their seats and just share in communion with one another, just where you have been seated. And you can do that in your own time. And then after a while, when it feels like we've all been able to share what we want to share, then we're going to just end service there, and then I'll pray.